Good morning. Good to see you. Good to be here. Lovely day out there. How many of you have had an Easter egg? Oh, not many. One, two, three, four. That's good. How big was it? Oh, another one over there. How big was it? About that big. Great. Oh, only a little one. Maybe about that size. Only a little egg, really, isn't it? Well, you know, boys and girls, those who came down to the front before, some of you may need the help of your mum and dad, but there's 12 of these somewhere around the church here. I only know where one is because I've seen it. I didn't put them out, so I don't know where the rest are. But I wonder, could you see if you can find those 12 eggs for me? Okay? Like that they are. And there's 12 of them somewhere. If you need help from an adult, grab an adult and get them to help you. Yeah, that's the one I've seen over here. Bring it back and just pop it on the table for a moment. Right. You've found that one, have you? That's fair enough. That's good. There's some hidden around elsewhere. Do you think you can go and try and find them? There's one. Great. Thank you. There's another 10 somewhere. Thank you. Shall we see if we can find somewhere to go and have a look? Nah. You're going to help him? Good. Well, that's 4. How are we doing? Hope the person who hid them can remember where they are. And another one. Great. Lovely. And another one. Excellent. We're halfway there. Thank you. Good. Any more? There should be another 5 somewhere. Yes, we've got one. Oh, 2 more, I think, coming down. No? 1. Thank you. And another. Great. 1, 2, 3, 4, 9. 3 more left somewhere. 2 more left. There's another one coming down. Thank you. Would you like it? Yeah. Go on then. You have it. Are there any more? Thank you. It's good to find him, isn't it? Thank you. One more somewhere. One more somewhere. Yes, we've got it. Well done. Great. That's lovely. Thank you. That's great. I took them from you, not because I want to keep them, but really just so that if mum and dad don't like you having them before your meal, then they can sort it out. But when we're all finished, all the boys and girls can come and have a little dabble and take away. There should be enough for 2 each, I think, there, from the boys and girls who are here. So you can come and take 2 at the end of our service. But you know, it's good fun, and lots of people will be going out and having treasure hunts for eggs and bunnies and all kinds of things like that. Easter is not just chocolate eggs and chocolate bunnies, despite all the adverts on the telly that want to get you to buy them. Those lovely rabbits, you seen them in the gold? And where they nod their heads at you. Yeah. They don't nod their heads, actually, but they do on the telly when they're watching you do the things. See, Easter is so much more. And yet, Today, there will be hundreds, thousands probably of people who, for them, Easter is no more than chocolate eggs. Does it mean it anymore? They've been buying them for other people and hoping to get some themselves. But Easter is all about what you have written in front of you week after week. We tend to take these things for granted when they're there like that. We don't, probably don't even notice it as we walk in. But the truth about Easter is that Christ is risen. And that's what today is really all about. You notice in our reading in Luke 24, those two women, who went to the tomb in the chapter before, it tells that they'd followed when they took Jesus from the cross, and they noted the tomb in which they'd laid him, so they knew where to go. And on that first day of the week, they went. When they got there, they were utterly surprised to find that the stone that had been across the entrance to the tomb had been rolled away. And they looked inside, and what they were expecting to find was the dead body of Jesus. That's what they anticipated. But when they looked, there was no body. And suddenly there were two angels with them, and they said that he'd risen. Why seek ye the living among the dead? And that lovely expression there in verse 6, he is not here, but is risen. And they couldn't make it out. They just were not sure what this was all about. They went back to the disciples. And did you notice in verse 11? When they told the disciples all that had happened, their words seemed to them as idle tales. And they didn't believe. They just didn't know what was happening. They really couldn't understand it. They couldn't make out what they'd seen. I want us to look at one or two pictures and see if you can understand what you see. Let's have a look at the first one. How many wickets are there? How many? If you look at the bottom, there's only two. If you look at the top, there are three. Strange, isn't it? Most peculiar. But that is just deliberately drawn that way, just to deceive you. Can we have the next one? Now, I'm going to ask you a question. If that was a snooker triangle, and there's a ball there, is it nearer the top of the triangle or the bottom? Just think about it. Is it actually nearer the top of the triangle or the base of the triangle? And that one, which is the longer of those cues laying on the table? Which do you think is the longest? And that one, can we just stop at that one for a moment? And a question with that one is the hat taller than the brim is wide? Is the hat taller than the brim is wide? Your brains are trying to analyse what your eyes are seeing. Okay, let's just stop there. The first one, that ball in the triangle, can we go back to it? If you measure it, in fact, I'll show you it in the book afterwards if you don't believe me, it's actually in the centre. I know it doesn't look it, but it really is in the centre. How about the next one? You wouldn't have an advantage with either of those cues. They are exactly the same length as each other. Although I'm sure one looks longer than the other because of the setting that it's in. And the next one, again, you're not going to believe it, but the brim is as wide as the hat is tall. You see, we can see things and our brain interprets them what we think we're seeing. We have to be careful what we think we are seeing. Can we go on to the next? I want you to stare at those two pictures for a moment. And then I want to ask you a question about them. Just let your eyes focus on both those. Just go from one to the other. Because after a little while, some of you, maybe not all of you, will be picking up that on that top picture, where the lines meet, there are little grey squares appearing. It's one of those odd things with two pictures like that. Your brain is picking up. Some may see it. The crosses are on the white ones at the top. If you're looking at staring at it, we'll suddenly get little grey bits appearing where they join. Picking up from the bottom picture and taking it up to the top. Can we have the next one, please? Again, would you look at that one? Keep your eyes focused on it. And again, some of you, as you're looking at it, will probably find there are little white dots appearing with the black ones. Okay, let's just hold it there for a moment. You see, our brain interpreting what we see. We couldn't quite work out the sizes of things. And then we can start to see things that aren't really there. Little grey patches where the white are, and white dots appearing where the black ones are. Just the way our minds happen to work. And how about the next one, please? If somebody came and tiled your wall like that, would you be happy to pay them? Looks a bit higgledy-piggledy, doesn't it? That's the way it may turn out if I did it. But in fact, the strange thing is that if you put a ruler on those, you'll find that the lines are perfectly straight and the tiles are evenly matched. It looks out of line and out of truth, but is not so in fact. They're there. Okay, thanks very much for that. You see, we need to be so careful about what we actually see or what we think we see. Sometimes we can't quite work out the size of things. We can in fact start to see things that aren't there. You may not have thought you could do that, but yeah, your mind can work that way. And sometimes when we look at things like that wall with tiles on, it looks to us higgledy-piggledy, but in fact, they are true and in line. There's no real problem with them at all. And in this chapter 24 that we read, we only read the first 12 verses, but then Luke moves on and begins to talk about those two disciples who were going home from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And they were talking about all that had happened, talking about the crucifixion of Jesus, talking about the events that had happened. Take them away, thank you. Strange. Let's carry on. You've got some strange people in this church. They were talking between themselves about all that had happened. And they couldn't make it all out. They even were talking about all the things that had just happened. And suddenly, somebody appears with them on the roadway, and they didn't recognize who it was. And they went on talking about it, and they said, you must be about the only one who's been in Jerusalem who doesn't know about all these things. And they began to explain all that had happened about Jesus being put to death on a cross. And they said, and you know, the strange thing was this morning, some women came back, they'd been to the tomb, and they said the body wasn't there. They said something about angels and being risen. We just can't understand it at all. And Jesus, who it was who'd come to be with them, they listened as he began to take them through their scriptures, which would be what we have as the Old Testament. And he began to explain to them all those scriptures that spoke about himself and what was going to happen. All that had been said about what was going to happen, that he was going to die, that he was going to spend 3 days in the tomb and rise again. And then they got to Emmaus, they got to their house, and they invited the person in to stay with them and have a meal. And while they were having the meal, the person broke the bread. And as they saw those hands that broke the bread, they recognized Jesus. It was Jesus who had been with them. They hadn't recognized him, but it was him. And suddenly, they realized it was Jesus. And he vanished from their sight. Can you imagine the two of them? That must have been tremendous. And they went hurrying back to Jerusalem as fast as they could go. When they got there, they met with the disciples. They were telling them what had happened. And suddenly, Jesus appears in the midst of them. Verse 37 of chapter 24 says, they were terrified and afraid and supposed that they had seen a spirit. They weren't sure what they'd seen, just as you weren't sure what you'd seen up there. But you see, Jesus wanted them to be absolutely certain about what they had seen. He wanted them to be sure that it was him. And so he says to them, behold, my hands, my feet, it is myself. It's me who's here in front of you. Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see I have. When he had spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they yet believed, not for joy and wonder, it says, they still couldn't quite work it out. He said unto them, have you any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and a piece of honeycomb. And he took it and ate it. You see, he wanted them to be sure that what they saw was true. He wanted them to be certain that what they could see had actually happened. That the one who had died was alive. He assured them that this wasn't just something they were appearing to see, but something they could be sure and certain about. In John's Gospel, we're told that Mary had been outside the tomb and crying, and Jesus came to her, but in her grief and her tears, she didn't recognize him. She thought he possibly the gardener. When she asked him, if you've taken him away, tell me where you've laid him. And then Jesus just called her name, Mary. And in the calling of her name, she recognized who it was. She was then certain that that tomb was empty and Jesus was alive. I wonder this morning, are you sure and certain that Christ is risen? Or are you not 100%? A little bit like looking at those pictures. You're hoping it's true. You'd like to think it was true. But you're not sure. Can I assure you? He knows you by name. Just as he knew Mary and was able to call her name. He knows all about you. And he wants you to understand the truth of Easter Sunday makes sense of Good Friday. If Easter Sunday is not true, Paul, writing to Corinthians, says just this. He says that if it's not true, if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain and you're still in your sin. Without Easter Sunday, Good Friday was the death of a man. Easter Sunday means Good Friday was the sacrifice of the Son of God for your sin. Easter Sunday is the assurance that what happened on Good Friday is really true and certain. That Jesus died in your place and in my place, bearing in his body your sin and my sin, and bearing the price that will be paid. Maybe you've heard Jesus spoken of in the Old Testament scriptures, a member of the church here, I'm sure you have. Just as Jesus was able to take those Old Testament scriptures and show how they refer to himself. But maybe you're still not sure. You've heard it many times, but you're still not sure. Can I urge you? That let the truth of what Easter Sunday is all about embrace you. See, the disciples had to go on to be witnesses of what they had seen and heard. The New Testament stems from their being witnesses. Can we rely upon them? Well, you go home today and you say, well, you know, halfway through what was being said this morning, a woman walked out and cut the guy's tie in half. You're joking. Didn't really happen, surely. They wouldn't do that. Oh, but I know. I was there. I saw it. I actually saw her walk out and I cut his tie in. It may seem silly. It may seem ridiculous. It may seem as though it couldn't happen. But it did and you saw it. The disciples not only saw it, Jesus said, touch me. It is me. I'm real. I have risen from the dead. It's reality. Not just a story in a book, but a living, actual reality. Today, we remember Jesus is risen from the dead. Good Friday now makes sense. The death on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now makes sense. He became sin for you and me. And Easter Sunday verifies it. Easter Sunday is, as it were, God's stamp to say, yes! Good Friday is acceptable. The sacrifice has been paid. Jesus knows you by name as he knew Mary. He wants to reveal to you, as it were, his hands and his feet. to let you trust him and believe in him. The disciples had difficulties, doubts, wondering if what they'd seen was really true. But Jesus comes and confirms that to him. And this morning, Jesus is here with us. And he's calling you by name if you don't know him. He's calling you by name if you know him and wants you to be assured again that he is alive and he's living for you and wants you to know him as Saviour, and he wants you to go and serve him as Lord. There's hands, there's feet bearing the scars of sacrifice of Calvary for you and for me. Jesus is alive. It actually happened. You can know it yourself for a certainty.